your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Brian Lenny. He is the founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review website, also writes a premium newsletter, which I am a subscriber of. Now, Brian, one thing that you and I were chatting about before recording this was the emails that you're receiving, some of the emails that I'm receiving from precious metals investors that seem to be a bit worried, understandably so, about some of their positions, because across the board, some of the even best juniors to some of the lower caliber juniors and some of the more stable mining companies, they're all drifting. You look at something like GDX and GDXJ, it broke support this week, looking like it's going to be a fourth month in a row of a downward move. This is very much, it seems like a natural correction, but coming to the end of the year, you also understand why people are getting a little bit nervous because of the fact that you look across the screen and there's very few outperforming stocks right now moving higher in the metal sector. What are you telling to your subscribers and all of those that are worried about this sector, thinking that maybe this correction just might not end?
Yeah, it's a very common theme with the emails and the questions that I'm receiving. And for me, the answer is quite simple, that it's absolutely natural to have these feelings with what's going on in the market. Actually, it's a great look at what the market or most investors probably on a whole are feeling. And that's why the market is kind of drifting down. And the caveat to that is to remember that, as long as the baseline thesis for why you're investing in each of the companies, or maybe why you're invested in gold, is still intact, then I think you need to be a buyer. You need to be courageous when others are fearful, and of course, fearful when others are courageous. And that kind of mentality is constantly what investors need to be doing and be mindful of. The side note to that is, so talking about the gold thesis, I do feel like I'm kind of on repeat here, but I do believe that the thesis has never been better. Governments are going to have to continue to print money and they're going to keep interest rates low. The fact is debt levels are so high that they can't service that debt unless interest rates are basically zero and maybe even negative in the future. We'll see where that goes. So in my view, it's just a matter of time before we see this next stimulus package, probably once the U.S. election is over with and we have an official winner.
But that's the thing, right? It's not going to be over with until the inauguration in probably 2 months. So does that mean we're waiting for 2 months?
Well, maybe. I think because this is dragged on so far, so basically into mid-November, I think what happens is now people that have been buying, let's say, probably in August and October, that thought that the market may not have been, or this may not have been as deep of a correction, now are saying, okay, look, I'm down, 15, 20, maybe even 30% in some cases. I'm going to dump the stock and I'll buy it again in the new year and take the tax loss because they probably made some money in the summer. So I think, considering that this contested election is pushed, basically to the end of November now, I think what you're seeing is people dumping some stuff out of fear and out of tax loss. And I think that there is a possibility that once this year is done with, or that I think it was last year, if I remember correctly, the first 2 weeks of December, you see a continued sell-off. And then by mid-December, things sort of clean up and get ready for a push early next year. Now, those sorts of things, again, I don't think you ever want to hang your hat on. I think you still operate under the assumption that you can't tell where the market is going. You buy in tranches. You buy because things are undervalued. You buy because the potential expiration outweighs or is within a risk tolerance that you're comfortable with, and you go from there. But I think overall, I do think that the inauguration is the date that most people are going to have to put on their calendar and say, okay, after this date, there's more certainty into how things are going to play out from quantitative easing deployment, because you will know who's in charge. And the stimulus package, I think, will follow, that inauguration date.
Yeah, well, it's a balance, right? Because usually uncertainty is good for the precious metals. But right now, some sort of certainty when it comes to actual stimulus, that seems to be what all precious metals investors are waiting for. And they've been waiting for it for months, right? So that does tend to be maybe a turning point for this correction, but you did make the comment that it's best to buy when people are scared, and people are scared in the market. But is now the best time to buy? Because it does sound like we might still have at least a couple more weeks, maybe even a couple more months before a bottom is found.
Yeah, like, you know, my sort of way of operating doesn't really change. And so when we get into situations like this, where, like you said, uncertainty is high, and it looks like the chance is that we'll go down further, or there's a better chance that we'll go down further, then to me, my suggestion is to buy in tranches. So you said, let's say you had $10,000 you had to deploy in cash. And I would say, you know, you pick how many tranches you want to do. You want to break it up into, is it two tranches, three, four? And let's say it's three tranches. So you basically have $3,300 you want to deploy into the market at three different points. So maybe it's, you pick your top two or three stocks and you say, okay, I'm going to put $1,000 into each when they both drop 10%. And then that second tranche won't be deployed unless it goes down another 10% from where I bought it before. And then the third one is maybe set at 30% below. And that sort of system, you know, of course, it's gonna minimize your upside potential, but it, most importantly, it's gonna minimize your downside potential. And in my view, it's your downside that you want to protect most. And that's why I would suggest to go in tranches. The other side to it is the people that are fully deployed, then I think you just rest assured that, you know, it is just a matter of time, in my view, before this bull market starts again, and just hold tight and be patient.
Well, it's one of those things, right? If you're scared about the way the market is going and you're fully invested, but you want to be invested in the sector, then I think that's the best time to make sure you're invested in the companies that you want to be invested in, right? Because it doesn't matter right now if it's a good exploration company or an exploration company that I think we consider weaker. They're all correcting downwards. How do you balance out ensuring that you are invested in solid companies?
Well, that's what I try to do. That's why I take so much time and effort into picking the companies that I'm invested in. And I think probably compared to most people, I probably have a smaller portfolio. Right now, I believe there's 15 companies that I hold inside my portfolio or inside the Junior Stock Review Premium portfolio. And I do that for a number of reasons. I like to be focused on a certain amount of companies. I don't feel like I can follow effectively, you know, too many more than probably 20 or 25 would be the max. But I also don't fully believe in diversification. Like, you definitely need to be spread out in the junior sector just because of how improbable success can be on the exploration side. But also, I think that you want to, if you're going to put the time into the research and really go into depths of understanding a company and its value proposition and what it's going to take to get the market to recognize that value, I think you want to be concentrated in it. And that's, if you look at the portfolio and you look at maybe the top half of the companies, so seven or eight companies, and that's where my money is mostly concentrated, and it's for all those same reasons, and that never really changes for me no matter where the market is. And that's why I sleep well at night, because I've put the work in to understand and buy value, and that's going to protect me in situations like this. And that doesn't mean the share price doesn't go down. To me, it just means that I've got a little bit more of a buffer than other companies or other investors who don't look at the value proposition. And you know, it'll usually plays out in the end to my favor.
Yeah, so Brian, reading through your newsletter and also the conversations that we have almost every week, I think that you do some of the best due diligence out there when it comes to the stocks that you're looking into and slightly more, let's say, advanced exploration plays. Remind everybody where you tend to focus on the stocks that you like and the stage of companies that you're focused on.
For me, I tend to stick to the stuff that I have probably the more advantage over the average investor in the sector. And that's looking at companies that typically have some sort of 43-101 resource, at least a resource, or maybe an economic study such as a PEA, PFS, or an FS. And being able to take those companies, complete my own model, and come out with a valuation that I feel fits my criteria. And then, of course, understanding what the company has planned to get the market to recognize that value. And that's how I've been able to be a focused investor over the last 4 or 5 years since I left my career as an engineer. And, you know, protecting your downside risk is something that I've learned to do. And it's paid off enormously, especially in this last or this new bull market.
Can you share any companies with us for the weekend show that you like that, yeah, I understand, probably have been trending lower, but you think have some good value propositions?
For sure. Well, it's one that actually just got acquired, and it'll be really interesting to see what happens with it. Monarch Gold was just acquired by Yamana. And I think, you know, originally we talked about Monarch a few months ago, and I think they are one of those companies that show tremendous value compared to their value is tremendous compared to how they're valued by the market. And it was a great opportunity. And obviously with Yamana recognized this in Wasamac and is why they made the acquisition. So that's definitely one that I would look at, and it'd be interesting to see if anybody else comes in with a higher bid, because there's, in my view, there's plenty of room to come in with a higher bid. Second to that, and on the exploration side, and it's a company that we haven't talked about yet, but one that I think is very interesting is Pucara Gold. And they've got, right now they're exploring their Lourdes project in Peru. And it's one of the best high sulfidation exploration projects that I've seen. The analog is Yanacocha. For people that don't know Yanacocha, Yanacocha is like a 27 million ounce gold deposit, again, in Peru. You know, similar size. It's got the advanced argillic alteration. So the size, the alteration outlay, and the target are just fantastic at Lourdes. And that's something that they're doing a 7,200 meter drill program right now. And we should know in the next few weeks, you know, what that looks like. And really, if you know these high sulfidation deposits, they are highly sought after for their, you know, I think for their metallurgy. You know, they're low grade, but their metallurgy is typically, you can heap bleach these things. And so they're very desirable. And so we're going to know in the next few weeks where this stands. And I think, you know, given that it's trading under, I think it's below 70 cents today, I think that's a tremendous opportunity to come in on a very, very high potential exploration project.
All right. Well, Brian, appreciate you sharing those companies. One other thing that we can share with everybody is Brian is running a Black Friday special for the premium service, for his premium newsletter. Give us a little bit more details on the sale and how people can take advantage of it, please.
So for a limited time until next Friday, you can get 40% off your subscription to Junior Stock Review by using the coupon code Thanksgiving. And again, that's for a limited time until next Friday, which is the 27th. And if you have any questions, you can email me at admin@juniorstockreview.com. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem there, Brian. As I said, I am a subscriber to the newsletter. I find it very much worth my time to read over all of your reports and especially the company-specific stuff. I will also post that coupon code in the posting of the weekend show on the website, kereport.com. Hey, Brian, great chatting with you, buddy. I'll chat with you again next week.
Thanks for having me, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.